This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Send Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. All right, Houston. Welcome to another episode of A Tip from Gilbert, Talk, Inspiration, and Prayer. And I'd like to think of this as the people's hour, because if you got something to say, call in to that number, 832-570-8075. And call in. I don't care if it's about what's going on with your son, your daughter, your spouse, what's going on at church, the church spring fling, or the barbecue fest, or you're raising money for the school, whatever it is, this is your chance, because we are now on 5 stations. As a reminder, KWWJ, Keep Walking with Jesus, the legendary KYOK, KCOH, The Source, Aliento Radio, and San Geet. So we're everywhere. And of course, my normal partner is not here because she's got some project to do. That's Ruby Dang. But I have my other partner, Connie Falcon Davis. Hi. She's going to be my sidekick today. Connie, say hi.
Hi, everyone. And Connie, happy to be here.
Real quick, you're Milby High School?
Austin High School. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Is that the rival?
Yes, it's rival of Milby. Gosh. Yes.
So let me move that closer to you. How's that?
Yeah.
Austin High School?
Yes.
And so tell me, were you siblings or no?
Yes, I have 3 brothers.
Three brothers and you?
And me.
Were you the baby?
No, I was the second to the last child.
So you're kind of the baby.
I'm kind of the baby.
Did the boys treat you like the baby?
No, they treated me like their wrestling buddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They always body slammed me.
They body slammed you?
Practice their wrestling moves.
Did they really?
Yes.
So you got elbows in the back?
Yes.
Well, you know what? That's what big brothers are for, I think.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, you know, we had an election.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yours truly ran for mayor. And, you know, look, I'm proud of what happened. Why? Because, first of all, Houston, thank you. I came in third. The career politicians came in at 1 and 2, as expected. And I came in third, the people's candidate. And, of course, I think we had about 18 or 19,000 votes. It's not bad.
That's awesome.
And,
you know, you did great.
And remember, I had no name ID.
I know.
And I was running against one person who's been in office. Are you ready for this? 50 years.
My goodness.
Think of it this way. Wow. That's longer than you've been alive.
Yes.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, that's
insane. So he's been in office since before you were alive. So what do you have in common with him, you think?
Nothing.
Nothing
at all.
That's exactly right. And then the other one's been in office like, I don't know, 28 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's interesting to me, the editorial, Houston Chronicle editorial, wrote this article. Blame Whitmire. Blame Sheila. What's behind Houston's low voter turnout? And they say a bunch of hullabaloo, like, oh, I don't know why they're not coming out. Maybe. And they kind of like said, there's no excitement among the candidates. You know, I'll tell you why. Because of the Chronicle and the TV stations. That's why.
Yeah.
It's real simple. If the media doesn't cover, you know, the most important decisions people are going to make, which is hiring their elected officials that control their trash pickup, their streets, if the media is not going to cover it, well, then of course people aren't going to know, and they're not going to know what's going on, and they don't even know there's a vote. So, you know, here they are going through all this, and I'm like, are you kidding me? It's because of you. And if you look, you have these TV debates, and I participated in them, and there's so much great stuff to it. I've done some clips here. Well, it didn't even show on TV at prime time.
Yeah.
In other words, the NFL football game was more important. I'm like, well, if the NFL football, and it wasn't even the Texans playing, if the NFL football game is more important, well, then move it to a different night.
Yeah.
Right? Move it to a different night. I get the concept of, well, everyone wants to watch the football. Well, then move it to a different night. My goodness. So what they did, look, I'm glad they did what they did, all of them, but they got to do better.
Yeah.
It was 1 hour, and then it ended, and they played it, I think, at 10:30 at night after the news. Yeah. And then they simulcasted it, not simulcasted, they replayed it on, like, the internet, their internet TV, which I'm sure not a whole lot of people watch. Yeah. So it's very simple, Chronicle. Why didn't you do a debate, Chronicle? Because you didn't do one, I don't think. And why didn't you do one and do it with, one of the TV stations? And why didn't you make sure it was on prime time? And why didn't we, you know, someone needs to come up with better questions. This last one was really good because they asked more pointed questions. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just do questions like, what do you think of crime? Well, we all said the same thing. It's bad. You know, or what are you going to do about the roads? Well, we all know we need to fix them. I mean, you know, but they got into deeper topics or deeper questions this last time. And here's the other thing. Let us have real debates. In other words, I asked questions, pointed questions of the senator.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he didn't answer.
Nope.
But the point is, at least I asked him.
Yes.
And at least he looked, however one can judge themselves, how he looked, which is he didn't answer. Rather than it's this pre-programmed, I'm going to ask you 1 minute. I mean, I'm going to ask you a question. You got 1 minute, and then you got 1 minute, and then you got 1 minute, and you got 1 minute. Okay, here's question two. You got a minute. You got a minute. You got a minute. Well, the person who's like the last got to hear everybody's answer.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, let us debate.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Lincoln Douglas? Remember President Lincoln and Douglas? Whatever happened to Lincoln Douglas debates? Let us debate and let us get after the questions that matter.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's enough about this silly question about who's to blame. Don't blame Whitmire and don't blame Sheila. I think you need to blame the media because people don't even know there's a race. So there you go. I'm going to have sound effects here. So when I say something that I'm so confident in, I can play applause or something like that. We have a question already. Who do we got there? Alejandro. Is there Alejandro on? Alejandro. Alejandro.
Hello.
Oh, there you go.
Alejandro, we got you.
Hi, Gilbert. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my friend. What do you got for us today on a tip from Gilbert?
Well, nothing. I just mostly wanted to I have one question, but I want to preface it by saying this election was very exciting, at least from my perspective, because it was a time where we can actually have someone who looked like me, you know, be in office, first Hispanic mayor being a real possibility was very exciting. I got my whole family to go out and register to vote. A lot of them don't normally vote. Unless it's a presidential election. And so this time around, I got my family to rally behind you, and we were all really excited to go in. And of course, a little disappointed in the results because we were really rooting for you. But with all that being said, my question is, what's next for Gilbert Garcia?
Oh, my God. holy cow, Alejandro.
That's a good question.
You know, I'll tell you what. First, the right answer is, I don't know, but the sort of answer is I got to do a couple of things right away. I've got to get really intense on my business and I got to get really intense on the markets because that's what I do for a living, of course. And there's always opportunity at the end of the year. And there's always opportunity during an international crisis like we're having. You know, worldwide now, you know, you've got the Ukraine war with Russia, or maybe I should call it the Russia invasion of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Israeli-Palestinian Hamas crisis in the Middle East. And at the end of the day, there's an old saying, you never want to be short bonds in a time of international crisis. Short bonds meaning whenever there's a crisis, people have a flight to safety and they buy treasury, meaning government bonds. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to get really intense. And it's also happening when we can't even get a budget out of Washington. You know, Washington, you know, for everything we say locally here about Mayor Turner, and I do, and City Hall, Washington is just terrible. They can never get a budget through. And we keep having these temporary budgets and temporary budgets. Well, that's their job. They couldn't even get a speaker. And here we are trying to get another temporary passing of a temporary budget or a budget on just a couple of items and buy time till January. And they've been buying time for like the last couple of years. Let's stop this and let's govern. And you know what? Stop this bipartisanship. And Republicans, you're in the majority. Well, and you're barely in the majority. Well, Mr. Speaker, work with the Democrats then. At the end of the day, our job is to the people. And so all this silliness needs to stop. So number one, I got to be focused on the markets. Number two, there's a lot of action going on, meaning there's a lot of candidates, a lot of runoffs. And of course, a lot of people have called me, which is an incredible honor that people are calling me and want to know what I'm doing or want to seek my support. I think that's an incredible honor. Because frankly, Alejandro, the day after the election, I think I slept most of the day. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, I think I kind of took it easy. And then Saturday, I've started to return phone calls because I had my phone messages blew up and they're full. And wow. I always, when people have their voicemail, you know, your voicemail is full. Yeah. I always get mad, like, who are you? Yeah. You know, well, guess what? I was one of those guys for a while. So I've been cleaning out my voicemail. I've been returning calls. But I want to make my voice heard and sort of the 18,000 people I have an obligation to stay involved that voted for me. I don't want their vote to go to waste. And so I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be supporting some of these candidates. So that's number two. And then number three is I don't know what the future holds, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay involved. This show is going to stay to its core of inspiration, but this core is this show is also going to, well, here, I got a call right now. Hang on a second here. Councilman, is that you? Oh, Councilman-elect, I'm going to put you, you're on radio right now. You don't know it, but you're on radio. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to see, I'm going to try something. Don't go away.
Okay.
Can Houston hear the councilman? Now, I know you're not a councilman. He's council member-elect Joaquin Martinez. Joaquin, how does it feel to wake up and all of a sudden you're representing people and all of a sudden you're everybody's best friend? How does that feel?
Well, I hope I was everybody's best friend before. It somewhat feels the same. I'll say that. Gilbert, I've never stopped working, right? I've always been working for the district. I think it's a privilege and an honor to continue working for the district.
Explain to our listeners, of course, you're on five stations right now. So you are a senior staffer for Councilman Robert Gallegos, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and you've been there for how long?
So 10 years, and a lot of the work that I was forward facing to the community, pretty much the whole time. I focused on economic development projects with tax increment reinvestment zones, management districts, housing, 9% tax credit, 4% tax credit. And I know it's a lot of mumbo jumbo, but essentially multifamily housing, affordable housing, senior housing, we're working on projects within the district that overlap with the TERS, the Tax Increment Reinvestment Zones, and Public Works CIP projects. So I've been doing this work for a long time. And so, again, I'm excited about just continuing to serve.
Well, let me tell you this, and I mean this sincerely. And, of course, you know I supported you. But it's not about I supported you. It's about this. It's real when I say this. You are probably, in my opinion, one of the most prepared new coming council persons ever. I mean, when you think about your commitment to the community, your commitment to the district, you working with the district, all the things you've seen, all the people, I really mean it. You are probably the most prepared or one of the most prepared new council persons ever. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, let me ask you this.
It is.
You go ahead. It is. Go ahead.
It is. And I was going to say, you know, after term limits, before it was 3 2-year terms, you had an opportunity to be a freshman council member. Unfortunately, there's the learning curve has to be so much shorter.
Right.
Because you have 2 terms. So that 4 years, you can't waste it as being a new council member per se. And so I feel very fortunate, to your point, to have that, you know, those skill sets, that experience, the knowledge to be hitting the ground running. And hopefully my CWB council colleagues can see me as a council colleague and not necessarily as a freshman.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, number one, you're going to be a great, I don't want to say mentor because they're going to be your colleagues, but you're going to be a great, I don't know the right thing here, help. You're going to help your fellow council members that are brand new. Because you know it inside now. How do your kids feel?
So, Julian, my 8-year-old, and I'm going to start with him first because he's probably the most vocal about the camp, was and still is.
Oh, my goodness.
He's excited. He calls me council member. We haven't gotten sworn in yet, so let's not take that title. Lucas and Kalina, they're a bit younger. Lucas is 5, and Kalina is about to be 3. I think for them, it was just a part of life, right? A part of their journey. And it's a privilege. It really is, even for them. And I acknowledge that it's a privilege for them. So they need to understand that privilege and know that not everybody gets to, you know, be 3 years old with the council member as their father. And so for them, it's just life. And so making sure that they stay grounded and humble in the space. And then my 17-year-old Joaquin, he's a senior in high school. And so, you know, Gilbert, you have a teenager, so you know that
yes,
the last thing that they care about is what us parents do, no matter how good it is.
Right.
So true.
Joaquin is living his life. He's a senior. He's going to graduate. He's already applying for scholarships and colleges. But no, he's been around me since he was a baby. You know, we'd be doing community meetings, not just out of the district high office. When I used to manage youth programs at Baker Ripley, he's always been in this space. So it's nothing new to him. And for him, it's like, okay, this is my chapter. I'm going to stay focused on it. And I'm very respectful of that as well.
That is so great. Well, you know, when I was Metro chairman, my daughter, who's 17, so like you're Joaquin Jr., my daughter at the time must have been like 4. And she would lay on the couch and she'd say, Mr. Metro, I need more milk. And, you know, I mean, she would drink milk in her titi all the time. And that's, you know, the little, like a little bottle. And she'd go, Mr. Metro, Metro man, I need more titi. So that just goes to show you that they will keep us humble. Before you go, and I want to get you on the show for real. So you can be a guest. I want you to share with us. Now, I know you're not a councilman yet, but we're excited for you. What are going to be like your top 2 things that you're like when you get your staff and you say, all right, staff, let's get to work and do this. Do you know what that is yet?
So I think one of my, you know, a lot of what I was talking about on the campaign was, you know, basic services. We need to make sure that the city receives what they deserve. And so that's priority. Public safety is another priority. Infrastructure, another priority. And so for me, I bunch all that up together to say that, hey, staff, we need to see what our best practice is, not just here in the city, but also outside of the city. And so we're going to be definitely purposeful, policy driven. We're going to make sure that the work that needs to, that in order to run a city, which is kind of the nerdy part of it, I guess, that I enjoy.
Right.
That all that gets put on paper and we start pushing that in order to make sure that we're doing what District I residents, but really generally just what the City of Houston residents want, right? Everybody pays taxes and everybody deserves a service. So that's number one. I think the second thing that I can really lean on, once we're able to serve the folks with the services that they deserve, I personally want to start working on community engagement. So I want them to understand the work that we're doing. And as you do that, and I'll give you a quick analogy, you know, it's hard to, you know, there's always a disconnect between the residents, the voters, and elected officials. And I think we need to start working, being purposeful about how you build, fill in those gaps. So quick analogy, for me, a win is a win, but purposeful win. So if you throw a Hail Mary, maybe half the stadium is looking at it and, you know, everybody else gets excited because it's a Hail Mary, but they didn't see the actual play. But I want to see, and this is back to the community engagement, I want to get a first down. I want to get another first down. I want to make it halfway to the, you know, halfway down the field. And then once we're at the red zone, everybody's eyes are a part of it because they were a part of the whole process. And I want to make it touchdown with everybody so that way they see exactly how this works. How am I involved in this? What's my role as a resident? And as we do that, we'll start seeing more engagement. We'll start seeing more folks really hands-on in this whole process that we call, you know, city government. So the civic engagement part will be a huge priority day one.
Very good. You know, Councilman, I congratulate you. Well, Councilman-elect, I congratulate you. And I think you're going to be dynamite. So I'm going to have you in. I know you've got lots of work to do between here and when is the swearing in again?
It's usually, I want to say, but don't hold me to it. It's usually the 2nd of January, okay. The first day in January.
And then y'all take
we'll
office
getting those briefs.
And you take office that day or what happens?
That day. So you take office, you get sworn in and, you know, a lot of it's more ceremonial that day. I want to say we do have a meeting to accept the, you know, the swearing in, but it's more ceremonial. And then the work doesn't stop. We can continue working.
Man, oh man, oh man, exciting. Let's go. Well, thank you for calling in and we'll have you again, my friend.
Definitely. Thank you for calling. Thank you for having me, Gilbert.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate
thank you.
Thank
you for everything you're doing as well.
Well, thank you, pal.
Yes, sir.
So, Houston, that was Councilman-elect Joaquin Martinez. And what a great guy he is, you know?
Yeah.
And he's always everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he's just got the greatest demeanor. And he's friendly. And he's going to be dynamite. And to think he's been on staff for 10 years.
Wow.
Holy cow. Now, we have a caller in. And I think this is another great surprise. Is there a Melanie Miles there? Is there a Melanie Miles there? Melanie. Is Melanie Miles there?
Yes, yes, hi.
Miss Melanie Miles. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. You're talking to thousands of people here on R5 radio stations. And let me ask you this, Melanie Miles. Now, this is the famous Melanie Miles that's in the runoff. I need to make sure I got the right Melanie Miles. Is this the Melanie Miles that we all love that's in the runoff?
You are so kind, Gilbert. Yes, this is the one that's in the runoff.
That one.
At-large one.
Well, let me ask this, Melanie. I mean, how does it feel? Are you nervous? Or are you like, doggone it, I got to get to work even harder? I mean, how does it feel? I really want to know.
Gilbert, it feels so great to, you know, that the citizens of Houston had the confidence in me and in my campaign. So I am really, really, really excited. You know, am I nervous? No, you know, I'm not nervous yet, I guess because I haven't had a chance to be nervous. It's just, it's like rolling 12 months of a campaign into 30 days. So,
wow. Can you imagine that 12 months?
We're working.
Yeah. It's a sprint now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Melanie, remind me of your background. Are you an attorney?
I am.
Tell us about your background. What type of practice do you have?
I have a family law practice. I'm board certified in family law. I've been practicing 20 plus years. And I went to South Texas College of Law. I'm a native Houstonian. I tell you, Gilbert, with COVID, you know, it changed everybody. And, you know, so the law office that I had in downtown Houston, I mean, of course, that we closed that with COVID. And,
right.
and I have not reopened. And it's given me the opportunity to do things that I really have a passionate about. I have a passion about my practice, but I've really been focused the past few years on communities and working with community organizations and civic clubs to really make sure that their voices are heard at City Hall. I plan to be a full-time council member.
It's interesting how the Lord works, right?
Right.
And maybe that was in your plan, the plan, mm-hmm. You know, maybe mm-hmm. he was sending you the signal that, you know, your law practice is going to be secondary to now public service and the people. Isn't that interesting?
I totally agree with you. You know, he closes one door to open yep. another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just at a good time in my life. I mean, our kids are, you know, now graduating from college and, you know, it's just a good season. You know, we have different seasons in our lives and this is just that season. And I, I just really am so excited about it. I've been able to work with, use my skills to work with women who are suffering from domestic, and men, to be mm-hmm. honest, with suffer mm-hmm. from domestic violence during COVID. Right. And it just really made me aware that there are a lot of people in this city that just need help mm-hmm. and need to make sure that their voices are heard.
Now, who inspired you to run for office? I mean, what did you just wake up one day and said, you know what? I think I'm going to run for office. I mean, how did all that happen? Or were you one like in middle school and you were student body president and you said, one day I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to run for office. What's your story? Tell us.
I wish it was like that, some kind of epiphany or whatever. But no, you know, my story is really what I alluded to a minute ago. You know, there was a community in Third Ward, Houston called Riverside Terrace, and the city's planning department decided that they were going to make it a historic district. And it sounds great, but the community was not for it because of the increased expenses. They couldn't just go out to Home Depot and get a new roof. Now the city was going to have oversight over their properties, and they had to go to the city for permission and special materials. And mainly, you know, the folks could not afford to have the requirements of a historic district. And so in spite of all of their, you know, 200 plus citizens putting their names on petitions, the city planning department took the position that this is happening, whether you like it or not. And that's when I got involved. And you know, I just do what I usually do for any client. You know, for them, I was doing it pro bono and said, you know, let's look at city ordinances and state laws, and I helped them to organize. And we overcame it. We stood up against the city's planning department and we won.
Good for
you.
So
that's what really convinced me that I really needed to. That led to, from one issue to another issue, helping another community or another civic organization. And just to make sure their voices are heard. And so we need good people. Mm-hmm. You know that, Gilbert. We need good people in city council. We need people who not only have a good heart, but know how to get things done.
That's right.
And so that's why I'm running.
Well, you know what? Sometimes citizens never think that the smartest guys in the room are the smartest guys in the room. They may think they're the smartest guys in the room. But you know what? People know what's best. They know the community. They're on the ground. They live there.
That's right. So
I am so glad you did that. I love that story. So go back to something, a historic district, like who decides that? The city hall decides we're going to make this a historic district. And what's the basis for that decision?
You know what? Really, historic districts are supposed to start with the community, you know, saying we want this, filling out an application, saying, hey, we have, you know, things that are characteristics about our community that we want to preserve. That's how it's supposed to start, right? But in that situation, the city just decided on its own pretty much that we're going to do this, you know, at this community. You know, the law, they were violating their own city ordinances by, you know, stepping on the rights of these residents in this community. And that's why we were very successful in pushing back.
And are they primarily people of color?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why is that always the case? Community. They're always people of color. Yeah. Thank God you were there to work with them, listen to them, and you have the knowledge to help them. I think that's great. You know, I think you're going to be a great council person. I know you don't want to count your chickens before they're hatched, and I 100% get that. But you're precisely what we need, meaning you care, you're on the ground, you know, you're one of the community, you know. Unless you've really been one of the community, you don't know.
That's so true.
And I don't, you know, I don't want to throw stones on my race, but at the end of the day, and I have nothing but respect for everyone who ran.
Right.
But when you've been in elected office for 50 years or 30 years, 40 years, you kind of become in the bubble of politics versus you really are on the ground with the people and you know their hopes and dreams and you know the ins and outs of being a small business owner and you've created a job or you've had to downscale before. I mean, you know, we need people like you on there. And let me ask you this. I think one of the great things is that you chose to run at large. That way you can really be a voice, you know, for big, I don't say big issues versus small issues because that's not fair. But when you are a district council person, this is my impression, Melanie. I don't know if it's true or not. You get in the zone of, well, this is my district. Right. And therefore, I need to focus on that street has bumps. That trash is not getting picked up. But when you're a at large, you're almost like, you know, your own another secondary voice to of the mayor. I mean, you're looking at big issues. I'm glad you did that.
You're spot on. You're spot on. You know, there are issues that, you know, every neighborhood is unique, of course, but there are issues that, you know, are run across the city. So, you know, maybe there are different variations of it, but, you know, there are big things that run across the city. And one is with regards to having property rights, you know, just being able to say, you know, what happens in my neighborhood.
Right.
Parks, you know, are another thing. You know, we have parks all over the city, but they're not all created equal.
You know what? I hear that. And I'm sure it's the same old, same old. It's where there's people of color. We're the parks that are not nice, or the grass is not cut, or the teeter totter's not working, you know, all those things. Well, I want to make sure I throw you a softball, which is tell people how they can reach you, how they can get in the campaign. What's your website, or what big events do you got? I mean, I really want you to go ahead and do all that.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Gilbert. And thank you for inviting me on your show. I've been wanting to get on for a while, and I know you've been busy running. And so I am just so thrilled and so honored to be here today. So
that's nice of you to say. We'll get you on as a guest.
Okay, great, great. So you can reach the campaign or find out more information about the campaign, both at milesforhouston.com. That's our website, Miles, M-I-L-E-S-F-O-R, Houston.com. Our email address, if you want to reach out to us, is info@milesforhouston.com. That's info@milesforhouston.com. And our campaign number is 346-229-3997. That's 346-229-3997. And we would love to hear from your listeners. And if they would like to get involved with the campaign, come on. We want you.
Well, one more thing. Do you have any events, a fundraiser, anything you want to promote right now?
So we have an event on the books right now for November the 28th. Matter of fact, we just scheduled that. We're in the process of scheduling a fundraiser as well. Hold on, let me just bring that other one up. So it is, it's on November the 28th from 6 to 7:30 at Morales Radio Hall.
Oh, wonderful. Is that Cynthia?
Yeah.
What am I saying? Christina, I apologize. I had one of those brain.
Madrinas for Melanie.
Yeah. Oh, how great. Nice. Christina's fantastic. Yes. Having her in your corner is going to be really great. Well, Melanie, that's wonderful. I'm going to have you back. And I really appreciate you calling in. I just wanted you to be able to get the word out of what you're doing and people to know about you. And when is Election Day again?
Election Day is December the 9th, and early voting starts November the 27th.
Oh, my God.
So
that's early.
Wow. I know. It's in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my God.
Early voting is November the 27th through December 5th. So we want everybody to get out there and vote early.
Well, Melanie, I know you know this, but you keep going hard on ramming speed, full speed, and after the election – you know, you can sleep 2 days.
Right.
You charge your batteries.
But right now, you got to go, my dear.
I agree.
Well, keep going and we'll have you back.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, I mean, she's great.
Hey, yeah.
I mean, that's what they call as a no-brainer. But we have Cynthia Reyes. Is Cynthia there? Now, Cynthia is also in the runoff.
Yes.
Yes. We got nothing but runoffs today.
Well, I mean,
except me.
Well, you know, it's okay.
I know.
You're a strong third.
And we brought in all the good reforms.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about reforms more at the next show if I don't get it into this show. But is Cynthia there?
Hi, Gilbert. How are you?
Cynthia, how are you? And how does it feel? You're in the runoff.
Yay. I know. I feel great. feels amazing. Yes.
I mean, is that one of those, I feel great, or that's like, I feel good.
Yeah, that right there.
I mean, come on. Cynthia, let me ask you this. So tell people a little bit about you. So you're talking to five stations right now. So you're heard all over Houston and several FMs, several AMs and everything else. And I know you're running for district, but I also know that you've been a community activist, period. So, you know, when you were young, Cynthia, out there, who inspired you? Did you always know you were going to be an activist and you were going to get involved and that you wanted to serve the community? Or did something happen one day?
You know, I think a little bit of both, Gilbert. As a young kid, so my dad was in the service. He was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, and he served in Vietnam. And my mom dedicated her whole life to working at a local clinic called Casa de Amigos Clinic, where she helped people navigate their way through the health system. And so at a very, very early age, me and my brothers and sisters learned from my parents what it meant to give back. They would always tell us to put others before ourselves, to do for others, to be kind. And it was through their teachings that we learned how to do that. And so growing up, you know, they took us to DePelchin Children's Center. We went to churches. We went to, you know, any volunteer opportunity that they could introduce us to, we were there.
That and is just, so great.
It gave me great satisfaction to give back. And that's stayed with me my entire life.
Well, that is so great. Well, let me ask you this. How's it been campaigning? I mean, I had a campaign, as you know, and I loved it. It could get tiring at times, but I loved it. What's it like on the trail for you?
You know, our reception has been extremely positive. There's been so many people coming out wanting to support, volunteering, phone banking, canvassing, financially giving. I mean, it's been a great experience, and it hasn't stopped since election day last week.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off. Real quick, I want to get a lot in for you, okay? So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to turn to something else for 1 second, which is, so running in the district, how much did you raise it, and how much are you trying to raise this runoff cycle, and what events can we say here on the show that you can tell people I'm going to be doing this, this, and this?
Yeah, so we raised monetary funds. We raised about $165,000.
Ooh, that's great.
I know, it was great.
That's amazing. A lot.
And that's just off the top of my head. That's not even confirmed numbers. And even in kind donations, we probably surpassed about 60 grand. It was truly amazing. People, this time around, of course, I'm going to need another set of funds to help me win this race. And we're trying to fundraise about $50,000. That's our Cadillac budget that we're putting together.
Right.
But you know, folks who want to support my campaign, either through volunteer efforts or monetary funds, they can visit my website at Cynthia4, that's FORHDH.com. So Cynthia4HDH.com. There's a lot of great information on there about me, a lot of great pictures and stories. You can see that I've been involved in community work, and that I'm not someone who just woke up last night wanting to run, but I have a history of working in communities, not only in H, but all over Houston. And I'm truly passionate, dedicated, and I want to bring change in not only District H, but in Houston.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a phone number or a email address if people want to just sort of hit you with something?
Yeah, of course. So the phone number for the campaign is 281-631-3144. That number goes directly to my cell phone. That's my cell phone number. And I'm the only candidate that has my number on my push card.
How great is that?
I want you to hold me accountable. Right. I want you to be able to have access to me. When people call and I answer, they're like, this is really Cynthia. Yes, it is.
Good for you. Good for you, Cynthia. Yeah. That is super good. And your email or the email for the campaign?
Email is going to be info@cynthia4hdh.com. And all that information is on the website too. So you can just go to one spot and it's all there.
And do you have an event scheduled yet or no? A fundraising event?
We have some coming up and no dates have been confirmed, but we do have a section on the website that is for events. So I encourage everyone, please check back and be a part of it once we list them. And if not, if you could donate $2 to the campaign, we're grateful for any amount that you can support.
Well, call back next week. This isn't like I'm getting rid of you here. Call back because I want to make sure we let people know your events. Yes.
Awesome. Sounds great.
But let me ask you this. So what is the big one or two issues in the district?
You know, so we all have our platform, right? So my biggest thing for H is going to be public safety. But I will tell you this, Gilbert, everywhere that I've gone, and I know that other candidates have had this issue too, is that we have to start restoring confidence back into the people, into the voters, so that they want to come out and vote. I've heard so many times, you know, why do I come out? Nothing ever changes. And, you know, and I feel their pain. I understand completely. But that doesn't mean that we lie down and we allow things to continue the way that they are. That's why it's so important for people to come out and vote, elect someone who's been involved, who understands the concerns, who knows that we're, that position is to uplift people's voices. It's not for power. It's for the people. And that's truly why I'm in this position, you know, running for District H, because I want people to know that I'm here for them and that their concerns will be my priorities when I make it to office.
Oh, my God. That is so great. Yeah. Well, now, let me ask this. I mean, right now you have a campaign staff and a, you know, a manager or something, right?
Yes.
Now, I guess it's premature to think about how you're going to organize if you win. But at some point, because the runoff is what day again? December 7th?
December 9th, the final election day.
So once, so when you win, I'm not trying to get ahead of us, but when you win December 9th, you only have like 3 weeks to get going, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a pretty quick. And of course, the next council and mayor are going to inherit lots of new things and lots of challenges, financial challenges. And of course, I'm always bringing those financial challenges out and I'm not done talking about it. But also this concept of council members will have a greater say in what goes on in city government, which I support that proposition. A, I think that's a great, great thing.
Absolutely.
You know, when I was at Metro Chair, when I had one member on the board wanted something on the agenda, I put it on. Shame that this mayor has done City Hall where you couldn't get anything on the agenda. So I think it's great. Well, let me ask you this. So then you're looking ahead, you're working, you're going to be knocking on doors. I mean, what's the plan? Are you going to be doing any radio or is this more like a Gilbert, I'm going to be hitting the ground and this is going to be a ground campaign now?
Everything that I can support Gilbert, I'm going to be doing. We're already block walking, we're phone banking, we're text messaging. We're doing radio. I just actually had a billboard. I had a billboard up prior to my other campaign. Well, to this campaign that just ended. So anything that I can do, I will do it. And so that's why we're fundraising now to make sure that we expand, you know, in every area that we can. I'm not going to leave no rock unturned. And trust me when I say that, this is a great opportunity that I have. This is a great opportunity for District H to finally elect someone that understands the concerns and has a history of working with partners. Companies and corporations to invest in the community. And this is exactly what we're needing.
Well, I know you, because I know you, you're going to bring a whole different level of energy to that district position on at the table. And I think that to me is probably the most important thing of all. Well, I hope you call, I want you to call in again, because let's get the word out more about you and let's get whatever the money and so forth, where to donate, the events and all that. Let's make sure we tell everybody on the air here. Okay. So perfect. I thank you so for much. Calling and you keep going.
Thank you, Gilbert. I appreciate the invitation and everybody don't forget Cynthia Reyes Revilla for District H. And I look forward to seeing y'all out in the field.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
bye-bye. Cynthia.
Hi.
She's another super dedicated community activist. I mean, she just cares. And when you're with her, you just feel it. It just rolls out. I care, you know, all these things she wants to do. It's just wonderful.
She's going to bring new life.
I think she is. I think she is.
Yes.
Wow. What a day, right? We've already had Melody Miles.
Joaquin.
Cynthia. Holy cow. We have Jocelyn. Is Jocelyn on? If we lost her, we'll get Jason. Okay. Houston, these are exciting times. Everyone needs to get excited because this is important.
Yeah.
The next crew means the next council members and mayor are going to inherit a financial mess. Who's on? Jocelyn? Jocelyn, are you there?
I have not been perfect.
Don't put that on yet, producer. Jocelyn, are you there?
I'm here.
Jocelyn, how are you?
I am hanging in here. Gilbert, a tip from Gilbert. I am excited to be vocal with you. I want to commend you, Gilbert, for your vocals, your honesty coming from your heart. I followed you on all the debates.
Oh, come on.
And to hear you, you know, it's amazing. And we need these voices in our democracy today. You know, you're standing for honesty, your honest heart, and you're firm with everything. And I want you to know that it does not go unnoticed. And I want you to know that we appreciate that.
Well, I'm hugging you in cyberspace right now. And of course, how are you doing? And what's the latest with our whole effort? And, you know, since you've been on my show, I think I've seen another two or three people that have died while being incarcerated. Am I right? About two or three more have died just sort of like mysteriously in the county jail?
That's correct. Gilbert, and it hurts my heart to see it happening. But since I spoke with you, we have initiated the bill, and the bill is now fluctuating really well in a special session, which don't normally happen, but it is happening. And the Texas Jail Commission is doing a great job to help Harris County Jail stay within their standards. They've been out and so many violations since 2017. But as I continue my effort to advocacy in every way, I'm trying to just keep force and keep hope alive that these deaths will reduce tremendously in the Harris County Jail.
Justin, I'm losing you a little bit. You're going in and out, but I think we heard you. And you know something? You are like an angel because, you know, unless you've been in the position, you'll never know. No one can ever know how you feel unless they've lost a loved one who's been incarcerated. But it seems to me if my son or daughter had been incarcerated and then I just get the call, oh, by the way, they're now dead. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I think I would have been, I don't know, I would have gone through those seven stages of grief, whatever mm-hmm. those are, starting with angry, angry, mm-hmm. and angry. Mm-hmm. And so you just are so forgiving. And I just can't describe it. But, I mean, you're like an angel mm-hmm. to talk about it. Because yes. I just think I just would be so angry. And I don't know what I would do. And, you know, what do you think? And I know this is a hard question. What's really the issue? Is it? And I know there's so many issues, but if you had to just say one or two, is it that things are overcrowded? Is it that, you know, we don't have the right judges? I mean, if you had to say, if you were king for a day or queen for a day at the county and you could just do something about the whole criminal justice system, what would you do?
Wow. Yeah.
That's a hard one. I know.
Question.
I know.
But it's very effective.
Let's talk it through. I mean, the jails are, first of all, overcrowded. Mm-hmm. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that is totally correct. And they were sanctioned for that here recently in the Texas Jail Commission meeting last week. And I say from the top, my first time meeting and greeting Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez for the first time since my son's death on November the 2nd in Austin, I was able to speak with him one-on-one. And I could say that him from the top, I shared with him that there is some measurements that needs to be taken from the staff point of view. That's number one, to make them accountable for the human beings that they are watching, because there's no such statement as a person being found unresponsive when they have staff there working. That's unacceptable, first of all. Secondly, if they're understaffed, I don't see them promoting trying to get it staffed appropriately. And
do we think, I mean, do we know, is that a factual that it's they're understaffed? Like if you took the, I don't know the right word, if it's inmates to jail personnel, mm-hmm. that ratio, is it out of whack?
That ratio is out of whack, correct.
Mm-hmm.
That has been found to be factual. That is fact.
So you don't really
have... So they closed down.
You go ahead. You
closed down some of the dorms there at the county jail because they don't have enough staff to oversee the people there. And so it backs up other departments that are open. Wow. You know, some of the dorms are closed because they don't have any staff to put them there.
Well, you know, I'm in the business, and this is why I ran for mayor, because I think we need some private sector mentality. Mm-hmm. And so here's where I'm going. You know, our firm has kind of like a mission statement and a theme that what we're trying to accomplish as a firm. Well, I wonder, maybe the whole county jail system should have a mission statement. And I'd like to know what their priorities are. Is their mission statement, you know, we just want to lock them up and throw away the key? Or is the mission statement, we want to get people back into society so they can be productive society members. And while they are, you know, serving their time, we want to give them a trade, let them learn a trade or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, should they be judged on how many come out and are reformed? Yeah. I mean, I would just like to know what it really is, the goal or the mission statement, other than just, you know, lock them up. Yeah. We got to do better
than
that.
That's so true.
We got to do better than that.
Yes, Giver, that is so true. The policies that are there, that is one of the main problems. The policies and the standards are not being used properly. And that's what's causing a lot of problems there with the county. Well, the policies and standards that are in place, they're not being forced properly.
Well, I heard that many of the jails, I don't know about the Harris County, but many of the jails do not have air conditioning. Oh. Is that correct?
Yes, Gilbert, that is correct.
I mean, can you imagine? Think about that. Here we are in Houston, Texas, or in Texas, and the outside temperature this summer was like, I don't know, 108, 109 degrees, like, you know, Death Valley. Mm-hmm. And imagine what it's like in these concrete or areas, how hot it must be in there. Oh my God. And when people are hot, you know, temperatures flare. Mm-hmm. Bad things happen. And their health is at risk. And, you know, I heard a terrible, I don't know if it's true or not, but a terrible radio clip with Senator Whitmire saying something to the effect of, well, you know, they committed a crime, so who cares if they have air conditioning? Wow. Well, you know what? It's about these people are still human beings.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess you could say I care.
Yeah. Yes. I saw that, Gilbert. That is factual on the Senator Whitmire with that statement. It's very heartening to people like myself who have lost a loved one in their system. And only a human, you know, the system is designed for rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. And those that are mentally ill, first of all, they should not be in their system.
Right.
They should be detoured, you know, to the state to where they're getting some type of medical care. You know, they should be detoured and not detained to be vulnerable to those that's in there.
You're breaking up just a little bit. So just stay close, but okay. Keep going. Please keep going.
Thank you. There are so many that is there in the facility as well that has small things like misdemeanors. And they cannot afford a cash bail.
Oh my.
And the Harris County District Attorney Office, I think that they should at least validate the bail reform. You know, that would help reduce the population there as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me that you can be one of these tough people and talk tough until a loved one of yours is incarcerated. And then you change quickly. Mm-hmm. Because then you realize how callous you've been. And, you know, people who go in on misdemeanors, you know, everyone makes a mistake somewhere in life. They, you know, and some sort of low-level offense. You get caught up in the system, you might not even come out alive.
Yeah.
Much less come out reformed and can get a job. Oh, my goodness. I don't know the answer other than we've got to do better. This is the United States of America, and we've got to do better because I think we have more people incarcerated here per capita than any country on earth.
That's sad.
That's correct. And also the state of Texas is a national eyesore with our prison and jail system that it is totally unacceptable to every United States rules and regulations of justice, of human being rights. We have more deaths in our systems, as well as violent injustice to those that are in there. And that's not inmate on inmate. It's along with the staff on the inmates as well, Gilbert. And that's what's hurtful, that the culture of being a correctional officer, you know, they think it's okay to abuse those that are incarcerated.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you wonder what training they get. That's, you know, it's not just being like a police officer, but you really need to have training, you know, some sensitivity type training. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. Maybe we have to see if Sheriff Gonzalez will come on the phone. I mean, on the show with us. Let's get through all these elections and everything, because I think we're going to have a lot of candidates between now and the runoff. Well, Jocelyn, I'm going to have you back on the show. Let's get through this runoff and then you can update us all.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gilbert, for having me on. And on yesterday, I was awarded the Houston Peace and Justice Award with the Houston Peace and Justice Center 2023.
How wonderful. You know what? I want to have you on the show because I want to talk about it.
Okay.
What a great achievement. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
I know we only have about 3 minutes here. I know we have two callers waiting. I don't think we'll be able to take them. I know callers, I think we had a Jason and we had a Mary, and I think we have a Jose. I don't think we'll be able to get you in, but please call in next week. I didn't get a chance to say this prayer that was given to me when I was running, so I'll save that, a mustard seed, and it's about the smallest things becoming big and the power of prayer. And I didn't get a chance to revisit the whole the thing that the Greater Houston Partnership came out with, et cetera, on the budget. And then I wanted to show a clip of the mayor talking about the budget. And then, of course, on What's the Point, I wanted to show a clip there because, again, all they're trying to do is leave the mismanagement and all the pay-to-pay practices, but take away Metro's money and use Metro's money to cover up this mismanagement of the city. Mm-hmm. Even though the voters have voted now twice in the last 10 years or so to support Metro, including the referendum that I did in 2012, I believe, when we got almost 80% of the vote. And the one we recently did was 70% of the vote. So voters want transit. They want to expand it. They know we need it. But yet here they are. They just see money and they want to take it. Yep. Instead of seeing that the city's revenue has gone up almost double in the last decade, about 80-85%. And if our firm's revenue doubled, that doesn't mean we're just going to have more expenses. No, you got to manage your business properly and you got to manage the city properly. So let's go ahead. We will have all of that next week. And I am going to have this young lady on to talk about her experiences, because I think you're going to find them very heartwarming. So, producer, tee up commercial, and I'll then give my last word, which is, we'll see you next time, but I'll do it with much greater emotion at the end, but we will see you next time. And let's go ahead and play our ending commercial.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Send Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.
All right, Houston, I think I got 30 seconds. Miss Connie, thank you for sitting in on us. Thank you. We will see you next time.
Bye. See you.
See you next time.
I have not been perfect, but when it comes to the financial management of this city, we have done extremely well.
Mayor Sylvester Turner pushing back hard against reports he will leave the city of Houston in precarious financial condition. That criticism has come from both.